I'm sorry, Psalm 130. Psalm 130. I'm reading my notes about next week. So next week we're actually going to back to Psalm 128 for Mother's Day. We have at least four children that are going to be dedicated and some other things that we have planned. And so come on back, bring mom, bring grandma, bring your kids, bring your grandkids, bring those that are like kids to you, like moms, etc. And we will celebrate the goodness of God by looking at Psalm 131, 128 as well. And then the week after that, we'll go to Psalm 131. Would you please stand and let's read Psalm 130 together. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Let us pray. Our Lord, we are so grateful for your work in the lives of all ages. And so, Lord, we come to you by faith, asking you to speak to us this morning, now through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Before babies can talk, they are expert communicators. So they say, I want it now, without even speaking. We know that that's exactly what they want. And so they can't wait to eat. They can't wait to have their diapers changed. They can't wait to be comforted. They want immediate gratification. I want it now. That's what they say. So what is Amazon doing to us over the last couple of weeks? Used to be that you had to shop in stores. Some of you remember those. And then we started shopping online. Did you hear where they're going to deliver packages now? Right to your cars, you know. You can't wait to get home, you know, to unpack your widget. And so they got some mechanism. It's going to deliver it to your cars. They'll press the button and your magic car will open up. They'll put the package. And there's your widget sitting on your seat. Or maybe in your trunk, so that you can look at it before you get home. We are regressing, friends. We're regressing to our early instincts. We want it now. And isn't it sad that God just doesn't seem to get the point? We want things now. We want them immediately. And God seems to have his own time frame. He doesn't operate according to our time frame. He makes us wait so often. And the Jews were frustrated by God's slowness as well. Sometimes he made them wait for 40 years, for 80 years, because of their disobedience. He cared more about their character development and their cooperation with him than again about their time schedules. And the Psalms of Ascent, which they would sing on their way to meet with the Lord in Jerusalem, helped them to adjust their clocks to the time frame of God. Well, there's times when God calls us to wait. He calls us to wait as individuals, as a church, as the church at large. And this psalm can help us with the issues of time. Time as related to God. This Psalm of Ascent, some would say that this Psalm of Ascent is the Psalms of Ascent in one psalm. They were walking up the hill to Jerusalem. And if you think about it, this psalm it starts in the depths. And then it moves to a time of waiting on the Lord. And then there is hope, finally, in redemption at the conclusion of the psalm. And so we begin by crying from the depths in the first four verses of this psalm. The psalmist says, he says, I cry to you out of the depths. Lord, hear my voice. He's in the lowest of low places. He is in the darkest of dark places. And so maybe you visited a prison. You walk in and it's something when you hear, when they have to unlock the door and then the door slams shut behind you. You walk down the hall and maybe you get to a prison cell. They got to open the cell again. Hopefully not as a resident, but you know what it's like. Anybody been to Alcatraz? Went to Alcatraz. Once you go out there and you're out on the island and then they'll take you through and you hear the slammer again. And then they let you into an isolation cell. There's no lights. It's just, just a little tiny opening, and they shut the door. It is dark as dark can be, and you just can't wait to get out of there. It's terrible in there. And that's the way that it is with our sin. The psalmist says, with our sin and the effects of sin, he says, if God kept a checklist of our sin, we couldn't stand up. We'd fall flat on our faces. And Jesus came to those who did keep checklists and said, we're keeping the checklist. We're keeping the checklist. We're keeping the checklist of all the stuff on the outside. And Jesus said, you got a problem on the inside. He said, if we go on the inside, you got a problem. You've missed those inner sins. And the insides of our lives, they were hopelessly dark on the inside. If God kept a checklist of the outside stuff, most of us would be in trouble. If you look at the inside stuff, we'd be hopelessly in trouble. We would fall over because of our sin. The inside is hopelessly dark, and there is no way out.
Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, keep a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And with you and with your word, I put my hope. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me.
You can do that. There's rejoicing in heaven because we are forgiven in Jesus, and that's what this psalm is about. It's been said that this is the gospel, the good news in the Old Testament. This is the psalm that led John Wesley to the point where he was strangely warmed, as he put it, where God did something in his soul. This was Luther's most loved psalm. He called it the Apostle Paul in the Old Testament. Right here in this psalm, this beautiful story of redemption. And so we respond with fear, with respect, with awe, with worship, with reverence. That's why we come on a Sunday like today, to give praise to God, because we're hopeless on our own, but we're forgiven in Jesus. And that's why we worship. Because he, as we cry out to him from the depths, he lifts us up and forgives us through all that he did for us. But our redemption is not just past. It means a lot for the present and for everyday life. And that's why we wait on the Lord. And in fact, we wait, we hope in His Word. We do that with our entire beings, our souls, with our bodies, our emotions, and our will. We wait for the Lord with our entire beings. And the basis for this is His unfailing Word. You know, it used to be, as they say, I don't know if it ever was this day, that a person's word was all that was needed. They shook on it, and that was it. Some of you are nodding your head. You remember that day. Was that the way that it really was? Today you need signatures, you need a down payment, you need all kinds of things. But the promise that we have with God in Christ are good because of His Word. Because He said that it'll be true. He said that He would crush the serpent's head. He said that He would bless the nations through the descendants of Abraham. He said that He would extend David's house and His kingdom forever. And Jesus fulfills those promises in and through His people. As He crushes as the serpent advances in our lives. As He blesses the world in and through His people. As He builds His kingdom that will never end. His word of the past extends to the present. So that as Paul wrote, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how He will not also with Him graciously give us all things. That redemption is not just past, it is also for today. And so we wait for Him like night watchmen. More than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. You know, maybe you've stayed up all night waiting and watching for someone or something. Maybe as a parent or as a babysitter, you watched a child. Maybe you worked security one night or maybe many nights. Maybe you drove all night. Maybe you were a student. And of course, I would never have done such a thing. Maybe you put in an all-nighter and you waited all night long. And you know what it's like as you move through the night. Maybe you drove through the night. It's dark, really dark at the beginning of the night. I talked to a night watchman this week. He said, it's harder at night because you can't see what is going on. And you hear every cricket. You hear every noise throughout the heating system in a house or in a building. It's just very quiet. It's kind of creepy when it's dark in the early parts of the night. But then things start to change. You start to see people or vehicles maybe moving around. Maybe there's people that are coming in early to set things up for the day or to open the shops or to get the early workers or the changing of shifts in the night. And then pretty soon, then you see the glimmer of the sun coming up over the horizon. And then pretty soon the sun is full in the sky. And then the day has come. And that's the way it is as we wait for the Lord. As we wait for the Lord, sometimes it's really dark and long and it's difficult because it seems like nothing is going on and we hear every sound and we're just wondering if anything is going to happen at all. And as we wait for Him, we see little glimmers of light. And we see little beginnings of his presence in our lives. And then it's a new day, and then His life and His light is shining upon us. And that happens as we wait, as we pray for ourselves and for those that we care about, as we pray for our church, and we pray for the church, as we speak to the Lord, and we wait on Him as we wait for that day to come when He answers our prayers and He works in our lives and in the life of His kingdom. But I'd like you to notice something important here. Look what it is that we wait for. Verses 5 and 6 tell us that we wait for Him. We wait for the Lord Himself. not first of all for our answers to our prayers, but we wait for Him. Think about it, kind of like when the difference between a child and someone who's further along in waiting when a loved one comes with gifts. And so maybe grandma or grandpa or aunt or uncle, they come to the house and you've been waiting a long time. They come with some gifts. What does a little child do? They grab the gift. They run under the table. They run into the bedroom. They open the gift and they're consumed with the gift. But as a child gets older, and certainly as they become an adult, if they got any maturity at all, grandma or grandpa shows up or some friend, some long-lost friend, they hand you the gift. And the older child or the adult puts the gift on a table. And they hug that loved one and they enjoy being together. And then it might be, sometimes they might even forget about the gift because they so enjoy being with the person. And so it is with Jesus. As we wait for Jesus, the psalmist says, we're waiting for the Lord. And when the Lord shows up, then everything is okay. The gifts will come, the blessings of God, the answers of prayer perhaps, but if we got Jesus, then we got everything. And everything is all right because Jesus has shown up and we look to Him. And so, my friends, let's stop looking for stuff. That's our natural way. That's our natural bent. Let's stop looking for stuff and let's start looking for Jesus. Because Jesus promised that He is worth the wait and that He will bring everything with Him. That we are promised in Him. See, the psalm shows us that our redemption is not just in the past. It's not just in the present. But as we move on, we see that our redemption is also in the future. And so the psalmist calls us to hope in redemption. And we hope in redemption, first of all, because He loves us. The word here that we see it's hard to render in English. The version here talks about unfailing love. Some of your versions talk about mercy or loving kindness. We know that it's somehow related to God's relationship with us. What the Bible calls this covenant agreement with us to care for us, to love us because of all that He does in Christ. The point that the psalmist is making is that we hope in redemption because of the relationship that we have with God. It's a promised relationship. It's a covenant relationship. It's a relationship that will never fail. It cannot fail no matter what because He has given us His word. But also we trust in Him because it is a complete redemption. I believe a lot of what God does in our lives has to do with restoring us and with redeeming us from even generational sin. Think of what God did for Joseph. I believe that's a picture of it. So his extended family was involved with generational deceit. So way back, you think of Abram and Sarah. Abram trying to pass off his wife as his sister to protect her from Pharaoh. And then there was Jacob and Esau who deceiving his dad. And then Leah and Rachel, two sisters that were one passed off as another. And old Jacob had to work an extra 7 years to straighten that thing out. But then, so if the Lord was going to work through this family, complete redemption, then He needed to work some changes in Joseph. So think about how the Lord ironed that deceit out of Joseph. And so he was sold by deceit, sure enough, his family tradition, into slavery. And they deceived his father. But Joseph, after bragging about the promises of God to his brothers, he found out what it felt like to be deceived. And then he went to Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife was involved with deception to him. And that's what got him into the slammer. And then when he was in the slammer, he followed the Lord. He was a blessing to others. But then his fellow prisoner then deceived him again and didn't keep his word. He found out what it felt like. And through all of this, Joseph learned integrity. And when it came time for Joseph to care for others, the Lord made him a blessing to all of the world of his day. And so our Lord removes the character flaws and even generational sins in us to actualize what he has done for us in Christ. And so we hope in redemption because he loves us, because it is complete redemption that he promises to do, but then finally because he promises to redeem us 100%. I've told you